Right before the leaves turned in Cache Valley, there were other color-changing indicators that fall was coming. The Kokanee and Porcupine Reservoir turned blood red and swam upstream with all the might of their fat reserves. And the sage and rabbit brush bloomed yellow, transforming the high desert west into fields of gold. It was so cold in the morning the last time I went camping that there were no smells. But that's what it's like this time of year in Utah. But frosty mornings can turn into 70 glorious degrees, and as the sun's rays hit the ground uninterrupted, they heat up the sagebrush, releasing that evergreen, camphory, herby scent that we know is home. It also sets off my allergies, dormant since May. It's a weird reminder of spring, these symbolic plants relaxing and blooming after brutally hot and dry months. It's pretty confusing to be sneezing your brains out while most of the foliage around you shrivels up and falls to the ground. In Alabama, the pipe smoke humidity and sickly sweet smell of wisteria can make you sick to your stomach, especially if you're used to breathing in dust until your nose bleeds. When I arrived in Alabama of August of 2001, I thought I would never stop sweating. I thought I would never get used to an atmosphere that pressed on your shoulders and sat on your lap like a full-grown person. I didn't know if I would ever be able to get used to living outside of the West. I missed junipers and bluebirds, and the poetry I was there to write came out as heavy and tearful as the muggy air. I was studying under the poet Bruce Smith, and I confided to him how I was suffering and that my homesickness for a familiar landscape was crippling my writing. He said, "Don't make up your mind about this place until October." In October, he said, the humidity would break like a spell. The skies would open up and let the sunshine through, and all kinds of flowers would come out that had been hiding in the cool ground all summer long. Even the iconic magnolias, whose petals had yellowed like newspaper, would put all of their energy into producing giant cones with ruby-red seeds, a different kind of grandeur he thought I would appreciate, a utilitarian blossom with no odor. He was right. I stayed for 4 Octobers in Alabama, even though Bruce, the poet I traveled across the country to apprentice, left that following spring, the lavish and cloying season when I thought I needed him most. There are plants all over the world that bloom in the fall. When the heat breaks, when the rains fall, when the wind starts blowing, when the ground threatens to freeze. There are crocuses in my neighborhood. The same flower that is the first to crack the ice and blossom in the snow breaks through the mud and leaf litter to show off its delicate lavender petals amid the harvest browns and reds. The crocus that yields saffron, Crocus sativa, is also an autumn bloomer, bringing the wealth, power, and rarity of the world's most expensive spice to October. It's like that last burst of energy you get before going to sleep. It's like the feast of harvest before the hunkering down of winter. One last hurrah before hibernation. October is the spring of the end of the year. It's the sigh of relief. I'm happy to be back in the land of the sagebrush, especially when it bolts in late summer and gets ready to wave yellow arms of flowers in the chilly northern breezes of fall. I did get used to the prolific seasons of the South, but I always looked forward to October, and I let that hope keep me looking for the bright side of everything new that was coming my way. And even though I feel like I'm at home now, I recognize that adaptation to a place is a continuous activity, and that awareness of the changes occurring all around us keeps us on top of it all. It's a bad idea with my allergies, but I like to bring autumn's bounty into the house. A rabbit brush flower looks nice with a branch of yellow aspen. I leave the blazing maples where they're at. I watch the colors march down the mountainsides, but the yellow pollens and seeds that defy the season are the ones I want to preserve. They're the ones I want on my kitchen table or at my bedside, as tightly packed with meaning as a poem. I'm Jennifer Pemberton, and this is Utah Public Radio.